to Fitfluential Radio, the intersection of fitness, health, wellness, and modern medicine. 50% education, 50% motivation. We're here to help you find your fitness. Tune in weekly for interviews with some of the most respected and experienced names in the business, providing actionable insights for you in every episode. Thanks for tuning in today. Let's roll. Welcome back to part two of my interview with Tom King. If you have not listened to part one, please be sure you go back and listen to part one because the show will obviously flow more smoothly. Enjoy this interview with Tom King. This is part two. So I've got kind of next step questions. So
nice.
You made a really good, like I said, you really explained that. I think that most people listening would kind of understand that makes sense, you know, and it goes conceptually with what we know. I think what bothers me the most is, and I understand it, I have a passion for helping people understand things because they get frustrated. They go, well, wait a second, you know, 20 years ago, we were told, eat all the carbs, cut out fat. And now we're telling, you know, people, they hear things and they get confused. And I still, you know, reference my parents' generation. You know, when we were growing up, so my dad's 82, my mom's 78. And there, when they were first being told that my dad had high cholesterol, and this was probably, you know, the back end of that study you referenced, which was, you know, eat, you know, low fat. My dad would start, he was told to have margarine. It's just like a heart attack in a can, right?
Right.
And cut out all, he would, my mom would make him eggs and he would cut out the yolks and only have the whites and, you know, yada, yada, yada. And my mom went through this phase of cooking quote unquote health food and they get confused. You know, those are the parents that I keep trying to stop. I'm like, every time I go home, they're buying skim milk. And I'm like, oh my God, mom. And she's like, it's really hard for your, and I love my parents. So I'm hoping they're not going to listen to this episode. Even though I tell them, why don't you listen to all my podcasts?
Nice.
So it's generational and I like helping to explain, but people will say, oh yeah, they write into Fitfluential. We probably get 20 of these emails a week. So I know I just have to cut carbs, right? So tip for everybody listening, you know, carbs, to some people, they're saying carbs is bread and bagels and, you know, all the fake foods that can sit on your shelf for 9 years and still be good. Twinkies are carbs, right? Bread, crackers, yada, 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 pasta. Right. And then there's carbs that are vegetables. And then there's carbs that are fruit. And my question to you is, as I'm looking at my notes here, you're talking about 25 grams of fructose a day. What about fruit? Because when I think a lot of myself included, people, they hear fruit and they're going to think of fructose and go, so is all fruit bad? What, like if you ever have more than two pieces of fruit a day, are you screwed?
I wouldn't say screwed. I would say that choose your fruit wisely. There's some fruit that's super high glycemic, like bananas are super high glycemic. So when I say high glycemic, it means that they can trigger an insulin response. So fruit, you know, I think the thing that I find interesting is like over the summer, you know, we had a family reunion and the majority of my family came out from Wisconsin to visit, you know, to visit us in Colorado. And they, you know, they have this Midwest lifestyle, and I was fighting off a upper respiratory infection, and my uncle, sweetest man on the face of the planet, he's like, here, let me give you this glass of orange juice. It was this huge tall glass of orange juice, and I'm like, no, I can't drink that. And he's like, no, it's good for you. And I'm like, no, that's actually about 60 grams of sugar, and it'll completely throw me out of keto. So I mean, choosing your fruit wisely is super important. Like, I don't generally eat fruit, but if I do eat fruit, it's a dessert and it's a treat. And I make sure that I'm sticking mostly with berries, like blueberries and cherries and blackberries and raspberries. Those are going to be your fruit choices that are pretty low glycemic. You want to stay away from starchy stuff like bananas. And definitely stay away from juice because all you're doing is basically taking all of the sugar out of the fruit and, you know, and putting it in your body. So it's really no different, you know, drinking a glass of orange juice than it would be drinking, you know, a glass of Mountain Dew. except you have caffeine and the Mountain Dew. But but it's just choosing your fruits wisely, and you know, not using it as the cornerstone of your meal, but then maybe just having a few blackberries or a few raspberries or a few cherries after your meal. And I think that's probably just fine as long as you keep it under control.
Okay. So I'd like to take that a bit further. And this is a little bit like me personally asking the question, because I've cleaned up my diet. I am for the most part dairy-free, gluten-free. You and I've talked about this. Mm-hmm. But I do have fruit, and I wouldn't say in excess, but you know, like one of the things that I have been having, and I put my plant-based protein in it, is I make these, and I view this as a, even though it's quote unquote like a healthy meal and it has protein in it, mm-hmm. I would view it as a treat because I know it's got more carbs in it. It's an acai bowl, and it's topped with berries. I do strawberries and blackberries, mm-hmm. but I have put a banana on it. I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. Okay. So while I know that is not something to eat every day, I personally have a hard time going, okay, I've cut out the fake foods. I focus on organic grass fed. I'm getting mm-hmm. good fats and doing all of this mm-hmm. to like focus on, you know, don't ever have cantaloupe. Is it more, would you say it's, and you don't have to have a hard yes or a no, but would you say, hey, what we're talking about here is that the average American is typically going to be having a lot of fake carbs, probably a lot of fruit, and overloading that liver. And it's best to, for most people that are looking to lose weight and get healthier, limit this. And, you know, if you want to go paleo, keto, but have an apple a day, it's hard for me to go having an apple a day is a really bad thing. If I'm a very healthy, active person who's gotten my body weight where I want it, is that reasonable or no? And I hope I'm not putting you on the spot by asking you that.
No, you're not putting me on the spot at all. And I think that I think the most important factor is doing something that's sustainable. So if you really feel that fruit is something that you're not willing to give up, then just make better choices in the type of fruit that you're eating, and also exercise moderation. And whatever you do, stay away from fruit juice, because that's all that is empty calories and sugar. So eat the entire fruit. But I mean, if you're miserable in your lifestyle change, I mean, true. That's pretty easy to figure out that, well, you're going to be miserable with your life if you're not super happy with your lifestyle. And so it has to be what works for you. Otherwise, it's not going to be sustainable, and you're always going to be looking for a way out, you know, because maybe pizza makes you happy or French fries make you happy. That French fries are my kryptonite. So it's like, that's like, if I'm around French fries, I have to leave the room. I'm like, I'll eat those French fries, damn it. Yeah, no doubt. So it's all what's going to make your path sustainable. Meaning if you have to have fruit, make sure you just have the entire fruit. If you feel like you need to have an apple a day, maybe cut that apple in half, you know, and have it with a piece of cheese, or have it with, you know, with something, have it accompany some sort of a protein or a fat. I mean, those options are there. And that way you could have half your apple in the morning, half your apple in the afternoon. And so you're spreading out that, you know, that good dosing point of fructose. And it's all about being able to take control over your life. You know, a friend of mine, you know, he founded Quest Nutrition, and I mean, huge, huge, huge inspiration. I kept asking him out, you know, for dinner, and he's like, yeah, I don't eat. I'm like, what? Everybody eats. And so it took me like the longest time to really get inside of his head. And I'm like, what the hell does he mean by that? And what came up for me is that, wow, what he means is that he eats to live. He doesn't live to eat. And I think that that's where, I mean, that is the biggest sort of mindset shift that it is going to be beneficial to, you know, to a lifestyle change, is that food is your fuel. food is your sustenance. It's not your medicine. You know, it's not the thing that's going to, you know, make your problems go away. It's not going to be the thing that makes you feel better when you're pissed off. You know, food is your fuel, and your body is your vehicle, you know, and put the best fuel that you possibly can to make that vehicle take you places.
That makes perfect sense. A couple of things in that answer that you just, I want to elaborate on. For everybody that's listening, when we talk about fruit juice, it took me a while to wrap my head around this, like what's bad about fruit juice? If you've ever bought a juicer and tried to make juice of any kind, whether it's vegetable juice or fruit juice, you will really understand this point. So if an orange, for example, has an average, say a good size orange has 100 calories, 150 calories, you know, however many grams of sugar, a glass of orange juice is not going to be one orange. You probably, to get an average size glass of juice that you would get at a restaurant, I would guess at minimum, you'd probably have 6 to 8 oranges. So think about the calories alone, and you start to see, I mean, and then the grams of sugar. I bought a juicer because I was attempting to, and I'm going to hopefully go back to it, you know, do the celery juice thing. And the amount of celery stalks that you put in to get one glass of juice is like ridiculous. So if you think about pineapple juice, grapefruit juice, any of that, it's not that you're having the juice of one fruit. You could be having like a dozen. And that's where that overload of sugar comes in. And where Tom was saying, you know, it's like sugar in a glass. That's why they give it to diabetics to elicit an insulin response. You mentioned an apple and having it with a piece of cheese. Mm-hmm. A lot of people listening might be familiar with the concept of flexible dieting or macro counting. And my question to you for that is, you know, what is the take typically with keto and dairy? Because, and then with taking it like a step further, I'm thinking of, you know, typical cheese has carbs in it, right? And fat and protein. So is that easily fit into a strict keto approach?
Yeah, I would say that dairy is probably one of the cornerstones of a keto diet, unless you are avoiding dairy or you're vegan, which is a completely different, you know, set of circumstances. But the, you know, in keto, you'd be getting your proteins from, you know, a lot of your proteins from like whey protein and casein, which are dairy derived. And then as far as cheese goes, like cheese is super low in carbs. And particularly if you're eating white cheese, you know, like Swiss cheese and, you know, and Monterey Jack and stuff like that, like those are going to be relatively lower in fat. I eat quite a bit of cheese, you know, it is super high in fat. It does have some proteins. And I think that if you have a piece of cheese with, you know, with a slice or two of apple, I mean, or pear for that matter, I mean, that is going to be really well balanced in fat, proteins, and carbs. You don't want to overdo it with the fruit, but, you know, you're getting fiber from the fruit. And I think that's a pretty well balanced snack. I would throw some nuts in there, like, you know, like almonds, and then you're done. You've got a perfectly balanced keto snack.
Yeah, that sounds actually good. And so my next question is going to be dairy related, because you know dairy is such a controversial topic. And I see both sides. Like more recently I've been, and it was around gut healing. Really, I've always been sensitive to dairy, but I've never fully cut it. Now, recently, as you know, my dietitian was working with me, again, just major gut issues, adrenal burnout, all of that. So I have many special circumstances that I had to work on last year. And we were really cutting dairy and really cutting gluten for those reasons. But it is a very, I don't want to say, I guess the best word is it's a controversial topic. There's people who go, you know, there's just no need for any human past the age of whatever to have milk, period. And then there's people, you know, obviously like yourself, who feel that it is beneficial, clearly, if it's a big component of this diet. I know that my dietitian is saying we will incorporate certain dairy that I can tolerate. Again, and whey protein in particular is something that I can't wait to get back into my diet. Mm. My question for you is, when you're in, what is your position on dairy, and why do you think there's such a hoopla about it? And when you're consuming dairy, do you focus on everything being, you know, raw dairy or organic, you know, and from grass-fed cows and all of that? Or are you feeling like that's not necessarily as important when you're on the keto?
Well, another fantastic question. Dairy, in almost every circumstances, dairy can trigger inflammation. And, you know, what I've discovered is that people that suffer from like intolerance, like lactose intolerance, mm-hmm. or even intolerance of any kind of dairy, what I've found over the past couple years is that is a function, that is generally a function of your microbiome, meaning that the bacteria that resides in your gut that's responsible for metabolizing dairy or metabolizing lactose is not as robust as it should be. So I think that when somebody, when that's absent, you know, in somebody, and that can be passed on too. Like if your mother, you know, if your mother was lactose intolerant, and you know, she gave birth to you and you were breastfed, that her same sort of microbiome or same sort of gut flora profile is going to be passed to you. So a lot of people live under the misconception of like, oh, I was just born lactose intolerant. Lactose intolerance is something that's genetic. I don't believe that that's true. I think that what it is, it's genetic by the fact that particular set of bacteria has been passed down to you. That means that if you introduce a regime of sort of lactobacillus-based probiotics or bacteria into your gut, that you're going to be able to shift your microbiome and you're going to be able to tolerate dairy. But with that said, dairy is probably one thing that causes, you know, is one of the foods that causes the most amount of inflammation, that minus sugar. I mean, sugar is the biggest culprit for inflammation, but I do consume dairy. I wouldn't say it's a big part of my diet. Occasionally I'll have a bar that has whey protein in it. When I have coffee in the morning, it's with half and half, and I do get, I do get my milk from a dairy, and it's non-homogenized. It's pasteurized, because I don't think that you can get non-pasteurized unless you get it directly from a farm. That varies state to state, but I try to get non-homogenized milk. And then my serving size is under a cup per day. So I wouldn't say I'm not lactose intolerant, but I'm very mindful of bringing things into my body that could potentially spur, you know, inflammation. And that's one of the things that I keep an eye on. So yeah, I mean, cheese, like fermented dairy is a little different, because that lactose has been altered because of the bacteria or the enzymes that have been introduced. So like cheese, you know, cheese is a fermented product. Yogurt is a fermented product. And a lot of people have, you know, if they find that cow's milk is giving them issues, they can move to goat milk, like goat yogurt and goat cheese. And those, I think, are, you know, trigger less of an inflammation response.
And this, it's really a good, we're going to wrap up here, because as usual, we just talked and it's like an almost an hour. And it's like
fast.
A blink of an eye. But exactly, right? But that's a good point, because I just want to reference again, I'm going to have Tom back on the show. We're going to do a whole show on gut health and inflammation and good times with Tom and Kelly. But that's more than anyone, I and you guys, if you've been listening to me for a while and following me, you've known most of 2018, I have had to be in strong recovery of focusing on my gut, because the more I understood that your gut health, so to put it as simply as possible, and I'm making big leaps here, but if your gut is not right and you can't get healthy and get fit and lose weight, if you're hitting a wall, something is likely. Now, this is where I'm making a big jump. It's highly likely you could have gut problems. Once you fix that, and one of the other episodes I'll be having go live very soon is an interview with a good friend of mine, Alex, who's just 27 years old. She's just 27, former figure competitor who, you know, after her last a very stressful year, after a lot of extreme dieting, extreme overtraining, a lot of fake foods and the bad carbs and sugars, her body just revolted and she gained weight very, very fast, couldn't lose it, was very tired, exhausted, adrenal fatigue. And it was me discovering her and watching her recovery by fixing her gut first. She had to scale back on the working out, fix her gut, you know, address, you know, elimination diets and everything that we've alluded to here to decrease that inflammation and heal that gut so that then her body was capable of using food to fuel that vehicle, like you said before, appropriately. So if you're stuck and you're working out, you feel like you're eating right and you're not getting, that's something you want to look into. And certainly the keto diet approach is something that works for a lot of people and that ends up being a lifestyle, not just a diet, but to address those gut issues. So I definitely want to call attention to that and tune in for when we have Tom back on the show. But Tom, I think a good way for us to close up here is I'd like you to, number one, give people like, what's a typical day? What do you eat in a typical day? Like, what are some of your go-to meals on a keto day for Tom King? And then when you're finished with that, tell people where they can find you online, where they can find your book. We, of course, will link all this up in the show notes. And then where can they also find out more about your other company, Icon Foods?
Mm, yeah. Okay. So my typical day. So I usually get up about 5 a.m. double Krispy Kreme. And yeah, and a bowl of Cheerios. So I practice intermittent fasting. So I generally won't eat anything until probably like 1 o'clock. So generally when I get up in the morning, I'll have a cup of coffee with some MCT oil, and a little bit of half and half. So that's how I start my day. And then by the time 1 o'clock rolls around, I'm pretty ravenous. And so my go-to is to create a wrap using romaine lettuce. So I'll take romaine lettuce and create sort of a wrap or like a tortilla out of it. And I put turkey breast and cheese and peppers and pickles and mayo and mustard and some habanero sauce. And I just roll good. It's like a burrito, but the outside of it is just romaine. And that usually will keep me going until about 5 o'clock. And then at 5 o'clock, I usually just graze on nuts like pistachios and almonds and walnuts. And that would be the extent of it. So I have one fairly substantial meal, usually about 1 o'clock. And then the rest of it is just, you know, is grazing on nuts at night.
Seriously? Like, is that, I'm not questioning that that's, but is that like, how many calories would you say you have in a day?
That wrap, I don't screw around.
Okay.
That wrap's got a lot going on and it has like a lot of mayo and I'll even put some olive oil in it. So, I mean, you have to consider that, you know, the coffee that I have probably has close to 500 calories in it because it's got, you know, half and half, but it has probably 3 tablespoons of MCT oil and that's like pure fat. Okay. And so I sort of consider that sort of an exogenous ketone, meaning that that's going right to my liver and boom, converts it into ketones, turns the lights on, and I'm ready to plow through the day. And fat is super satiating. So, I mean, fat really will just kill your appetite, which is sort of the goal. So even, you know, even though I'm not eating until 1 o'clock, I'm not even thinking about food because, you know, the MCT oil that I put in my coffee is keeping me going. Okay. So that's... Yeah, so I would say that I'm under 1,700 calories per day.
Well, and I have to say, you know, there shouldn't really necessarily be any stereotypes. I remember the trainer that I used to work with who was in, you know, fantastic shape. And he told me, you know, he as well practiced intermittent fasting and that's about what he was doing. And I was like, shut up. You know, I just thought a guy that lifts weights heavy and, that he would need to eat a lot more. But if that's what works for you and you're not, you know, manorexic and you're not starving, then it's all good. And no, for those listening, too, you know, if you're thinking of going here and you're somebody who has a considerable amount of weight to lose and you just start, don't think you're going to, I mean, I think even Tom would recommend that you don't, like if you've been consuming 3000 calories a day, you don't go to 1700 calories a day overnight. That could, yeah, you could lose potentially some weight right away and get excited. That's a bad idea. You want to make, you know, gradual changes, and then you'll find a place where your body's happy. I'm not the expert. I'm not a trainer. I'm not a dietitian or a doctor, but that's just my recommendation if you're listening. So, Tom, tell people where they can find you, where they can buy the book, Guy Gone Keto. Of course, we'll link them to this, and then tell them about Icon Foods and what they can purchase over there, because we have a lot of foodies in the audience.
Oh, excellent. Well, you can go to guygoneketo.com. And there we've got quite a few. We've got a ton of keto recipes. We've also got our product line, which is condiments, barbecue sauce, ketchup, teriyaki sauce, sweet chili sauce. We have MCT oil. I keep adding to the products because, well, I like the products. So every time I come up with something I like, I add it to the site. Nice. You can also get the book there too. And then if you want to go to Icon Foods, iconfoods.com, and then our retail side of the sweetener business is at Steviva, and that's S as in Sierra, TEVIVA.com, Steviva.com. Go there, you can see all of our sweeteners that we offer. All of them are, you know, are keto friendly. And then if you just want to hit the socials, you can just look me up, Guy Gone Keto, on any of the socials, and you know, shoot me a direct message, and I'm super good about getting back to people and answering questions. If you've got questions about keto, I am here to help and support.
He's not super good. He's really arrogant and he's a total douchebag. Clearly I'm kidding about that. Tom, I am so thrilled that we're putting this show live. I am very excited. You explain things very well, and I can't wait to have you back on. For everybody listening, thank you for tuning in. If you have questions specifically that we can cover in my next interview with Tom, you can shoot an email to podcast@fitfluential.com. You can also use that same email if you're interested in sponsoring the show in the future, or if you have somebody that you would like to recommend we interview. You'll want to make those email inquiries soon, as we are booked through the latter half of 2019 already. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you, Tom, for being on the show. We will see you all next time on Fitfluential Radio. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this interview with Tom King today. I hope you enjoyed it. If you are enjoying this podcast and this show, we would certainly really love it if you would go to iTunes and not only subscribe, as I'm sure you already have, but leave us a review. As you know, reviews help us and this show get seen and heard by more people. And we're really passionate about spreading the health and wellness information that we share on this show at no cost to you. So a review would really help us do that. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.